Good morning, everyone. I'm going to read out a pre-prepared statement from the families, and then Emma, Sanjoy, and James are going to add their own personal reflections. With publication today of the report of NHS England, there is renewed urgency for the public inquiry promised in July 2024 to begin in earnest. We welcome the offer to meet with government next week to discuss the format and scope of that inquiry, as well as the identity of the chair. The inquiry needs to be on a statutory basis with teeth to compel witnesses and documents. The NHS England report illustrates again why individual organisations and their direct governing bodies cannot be left to investigate their own shortcomings. In the last 30 years, there have been at least 600 independent reports commissioned by the NHS into mental health-related deaths. 600. Each of those reports commonly cite system failings and claims that lessons will be learned. Today's report demonstrates that those lessons have not been learned. As reported in the media yesterday, the NHS England report that was due to be published contained only summary findings. It was of vital importance that the full report was seen by the public. That was because the executive summary revealed only some of the findings of this investigation. For weeks, the families have petitioned hard for NHS England to disclose the full report. Only yesterday, on the intervention of the Times front page lead and Wes Streeting personally, did the full report see the light of day. Up until that point, NHS England said it was the law of the land and they steadfastly refused to disclose it. This has heaped trauma upon trauma for them. Without the full report, you wouldn't know today how frightened health professionals were to visit Valdo Calacane, how they withdrew on occasion, how they planned their exits, yet at the same time were willing to discharge him from care in the face of very obvious risks of danger. You wouldn't know the extent to which Valdo Calacane had insight into his own condition. He got better in hospital, he got worse when released. He knew what taking his medication did for him. It slowed him down, it impaired his studies. He didn't like needles. He also knew what not taking his medicine did to him. He knew how it made him paranoid, knew that it made him violent. All of this was known to health professionals who observed the stockpiling of medication at his home. Those same health professionals who could have insisted on the administration of long-lasting injectable medication, also known as Depo, prior to release, but didn't do so. Undoubtedly, he was unwell, but he had insight and knowledge. He was not treatment resistant, he resisted treatment. He was discharged 9 months before these attacks when he'd not show up for an outpatient's appointment. He was left to the general public to cope with. The NHS washed its hands of him. After four separate periods as an inpatient, no one joined up the dots. He was discharged effectively as a ticking time bomb. The way the families have been treated by NHS England in the run-up to publication of their report is sadly reflective of the families' struggles since the tragic events of June 2023. With all that said, even full publication of this report does not provide proper answers as to what went wrong and why, nor does it ensure proper accountability. That is because the report focuses on the systemic nature of failings and nothing more. The families expected much more from NHS England, recognising that true accountability and learning cannot be achieved without recognition of gross individual failings. So far, these traumatised families have had to endure nine investigations. The first was a rapid review into the actions of the Crown Prosecution Service. It gave them a clean bill of health. Today's report gives rise to serious concern for the families that the full facts relating to Valdo Calacane's non-compliance with medication may not have been put before the court when his case was dealt with. Those concerns were first expressed by the families during court proceedings. They were offered a meeting with the Crown Prosecution Service only on the morning of the plea hearing, where they expressed concern about the quality of the expert psychiatric evidence. Publication of this report shows that they have again been proved right with those concerns, and that Valdo Calcare may not have been treatment resistant, as suggested by the expert evidence. A report by Nottinghamshire NHS Trust itself conceded multiple failures in the context of 15 other serious assaults carried out by mentally unwell people, prematurely discharged from their care during the period from 2019 to 2023. Again, the families were wrongly excluded from contributing to that report until August 2024, directly contrary to NHS guidelines. Yet again, they were simply left on the sidelines. The families welcome Iftar Majid, the CEO of the Trust, confirming a further investigation into whether anyone should be facing disciplinary action as a result of this latest report. There are also four separate investigations ongoing into the actions of the Nottinghamshire and Leicestershire Police, and two further investigations related to the unauthorised accessing of information by members of staff at HM Court and Tribunal Service and the Prison and Probation Service. It is clear that there are major failures across every organisation involved, both before and after the attacks, from those responsible for delivering justice to those tasked with ensuring support and care were provided to the victims, their families and the general public at large. The families believe that the full extent of these failings will never be understood without a statutory inquiry, and that proper change will not occur when failings are blamed on systemic error without full and proper accountability. These families deserve change in the name of their much adored loved ones. Thank you. Over to you, Emma.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Thank you, Neil. There might be some repetition, I suspect, but quite rightly so, because we've got a lot to say and so much has gone wrong, but bear with me. Firstly, thank you for being here again. Without the media and the public support, our voices would have long ago been silenced. That being said, none of us should be here today, though, should we? It's unfathomable to me, and I know to the other family members, that we have had to fight so hard for so long at such great emotional and mental cost to get this far. Without the noise we have had to make, without the support and guidance we've received from our legal and support team, I am certain that our story, this tragedy, and this disgraceful miscarriage of justice would have been, as I suspect the agencies and the CPS had hoped, brushed under the carpet, and any failings neatly added to the lessons will be learnt category. Enough is enough. From today, change will happen. Accountability at an organisational and individual level will happen. We will ensure it. Key dates, amongst many. As Neil has alluded to, in September 2022, Calicane was discharged for the fourth time, sectioned once more to serious, violent assaults against others. He was released without the risk assessment, with no plan for his continued treatment, discharged to his GP, a GP that will have thousands of patients and hundreds of standard letters of this type being received every week. There wasn't a red flag or a letter raising awareness. This is an individual who we know, as Neil has said, was so dangerous that whilst in receipt of an engagement with community teams, the threat was so high the staff members refused to visit him alone. And the staff members were told to plan your exit routes. These are also staff members who we know from this report did repeatedly try to raise concerns, and those voices fell on deaf ears higher up the ranks. In September 2022 as well, a warrant had been issued by Nottingham Police Force for his arrest. It was in relation to a serious violent assault on an emergency worker that had taken place previously during one of the mental health visits. It was never acted upon. No checks, no cross-communication were made by the police force nor that mental health trust in September 2022. And in September 2022, we delivered our beautiful child, aged 18 years old, to Nottingham to start the next part of his life, to study, to grow up, to play his beloved cricket, to make a whole new range of friends in a city he had already come to love. Little did we know what an unsafe city he was being left in and what evil awaited in the shadows in the early hours of the morning on June the 13th, 2023. In this city alone, since the year 2000, there have been 50 murders through mental health, 50 homicides under mental health alone. This much referred to latest NHE report is yet more evidence of catastrophic failure. It adds to the pile of others. Yes, nine, as Neil has said, nine painful attempts on our part to address the concerns that we've been raised. Almost without exception, they're not fit for purpose. Of those completed, most are wholly inadequate and little more than marking of homework. None of them provide clarity or the full truth. Huge gaps, omissions and unanswered questions. Why is there no individual or organisational accountability? This one's detailed, but it's more of the same. The 100 Families website has hundreds of these reports into these homicides, all with recommendations over many, many years. Clearly nothing has changed, has it? It's an example of the failures, the negligence, poor leadership, bad decision-making, mistruths, cover-ups and lies that we believe there have been since May 2020 up until today. Barney, Grace and Ian would be here today if those concerned across those agencies had just done their jobs properly. The scale of all of this is an unimaginable and an epic level. The public deserve to know the truth. It must be addressed and it must be dealt with properly. No more brushing under the carpet or kicking into the long grass or empty promises. Anything and everything that could go wrong did. We've been failed by two police forces, the NHS, the CPS, incorporating the entire criminal justice system. The CPS with a weak prosecution, a flawed investigation, and the utter reliance on a trial by expert doctor has, we believe, led to an enormous miscarriage of justice. The individual presented at court is a very different individual than that contained in this report alone, and also in the detail of his actions leading into the months, weeks and hours prior to his heinous act. He's mentally ill, of course he is. However, he did have insight. He knew what he was doing. He knew it was wrong. He did it anyway. But it is for a public inquiry in our legal team now to take this forward. He serves no punishment for his crime. He resides as a resident. He receives income via the state. And he does respond to treatment. He is getting better. As his brother so emotionally said in the Panorama exclusive in the spring of last year, they have him back. They have their brother back already. Barnaby's brother, Charlie, will never have him back. James Kumar will never have Grace back. Ian will never return to his children and grandchildren. It's disgraceful. The words in court are unlikely to ever be released. It's absolute rubbish. He's a patient. He's responding. The statistics show it's almost certain, over 98%, that he'll be out within 20 years. No. He needs to be treated, of course. He needs to be rehabilitated, and then he must serve a penal element for the murder of my child and two others. He got away with murder, didn't he? This has to be addressed. So enough is enough. It's shameful we've had to fight so hard against the public agencies and institutions that should be there to protect us. Have the respect to admit failure, accept the consequences, but most importantly, make the change now. It's desperately needed to keep the public safe. To the Prime Minister and the rest of the government, make this trauma stop and make our fight stop now. You have confirmed there'll be a public inquiry, but agree the terms that we've been pleading for. Make it statutory. All of the agencies, organisations, institutions and vitally individuals must then and will be compelled to attend, give evidence and tell the truth. Do the right thing. We are, and we won't stop until that happens. Thank you.
Everyone, thank you for coming. I'm Sanjoy, I'm Grace's father. Grace was the love of our lives. She was a medical student training to become a doctor in Nottingham University. As Grace's family, we've been failed. At every intersection that Valda Kallikane had with any authority, we were failed. Leicestershire Police failed to identify and arrest Valda Kallikane. Nottinghamshire Police failed to execute a warrant for 9 months. They failed in their investigation. They failed in their charge. They failed in their professional standards. Nottingham council workers failed. The police and crime commissioner of the time failed to hold the Nottinghamshire chief constable accountable for a failure of professional standards in her force. It is now confirmed by the Care Quality Commission, the Mental Health Trust, the NHS Homicide Review, that Valda Kallikane was not a treatment-resistant schizophrenic. He simply failed to take his medication. And that he was fully culpable for failing to take his medication. This report, published, highlights the failures of the Mental Health Trust, but it fails my wife and I as clinicians working at the NHS, because it fails to name individuals responsible for the failure to treat Valda Kallikane appropriately. We will be asking the Secretary of State for Health to order the trust to hold individual doctors responsible, as they knew Valda Kallikane was an evil, violent man, a known risk to the public, who did not take his medication. He was sectioned 4 times. 4 times the psychiatrist failed to change his treatment. 4 times they failed to use depot injectable medication. 4 times they failed to put provisions in the community to make sure he took his medication. Ultimately, irresponsibly discharging him into the community to do harm. They failed to consider public safety in Nottingham. This report was meant to be more detailed than the failures found by the Care Quality Commission, but it fails because it does not name the psychiatrists that failed in their duty to treat Valda Kallikane. A system is made out of individuals. If individuals are not held to account, systems will not change in our country. As you have seen with failings in other attacks, and ultimately, there will be no positive change, no change for us and no change for the community. For the loss of our beautiful and brave daughter, Grace, there must be change. This is a watershed moment. We demand a public inquiry with statutory powers, powers to compel witnesses to appear to account for their failures. With Neil Hudgel and the legal team from Hudgel Solicitors, we demand accountability, and we will not stop till we get justice for the Nottingham attacks and for all those victims and families like us who have broken lives because of their absolutely unmeasurable loss. Thank you.
First of all, I wanted to thank everybody that's come today. As a lot of you know that I've spoken to over the last 18 months plus, I'm not one for talking. This is completely out of my element. It's the last thing I would ever want to do. I'm such an introvert. This is the worst place that I want to be. But I'm the voice for my father. He can't speak for himself. I take a lot on to protect my family and so my brothers don't have to go through all this. I take it all on myself. And it's hard. I work full time. I have a new marriage. I have a lot of stress outside of work and in my family life. And I don't want anyone else to suffer. So I take it all on myself. It's tough. What makes it worse is that we're dealing with an investigation into Nottinghamshire's Mental Health Trust, a trust that I should be relying on right now to help me, but I can't because they failed. They failed the people of Nottingham, where I'm from, where my dad was from. A lot of people here, journalists from Nottingham, who do we turn to when we need help? The police, they failed us. The NHS, they failed us. The mental health of Nottinghamshire have failed us. Like, who do we turn to? We only have ourselves to help each other, and with Hudrell solicitors as well to helping us. Like, I don't know where we would be if we didn't have ourselves as a group and this family that we've been thrust together because of one horrific day, because someone decided he wanted to go out on a murdering spree. Over the last 18 months, I've lost all my faith in Nottinghamshire Mental Health Trust, a trust designed to help the residents of Nottingham, who just sometimes can't help themselves, the ones who have the weight of the world on their shoulders and don't have anyone else to turn to, everyday people who look to the NHS, the police and others for support. Those everyday people include my father, Ian, who's 6 months away from retirement, working hard to get to that day when he could put down his tools and spend time with his grandchildren and do his hobbies like fishing, watching football. That day was brutally snatched away from him in a spree killing that would have been prevented if Nottinghamshire Mental Health Trust just did their job. That's all we ask. Bottom of the line, just do the job you paid for. The report shows the failures in just this individual case. This is a 300-page document for one patient. Just imagine what's happening with the other patients in the Mental Health Trust. To the people of Nottingham, I'm sorry you've got nobody to help you. To the patients in the care of the Nottingham Mental Health Trust, I'm sorry you've been failed and you'll continue to be failed until changes have been made. That's it for me.
Okay, thank you. We'll now take questions. There's not a microphone to put your hand
up. Hello, panel. Alison McKenzie, ITV Central. Emma, can I ask you, why is it important in your view that names are named? You say they're lacking in this report. Why is it important to have some names?
But I think that's something that all families are calling for. It's not a witch hunt, and I think that's really important to say. Of course we want justice. We want accountability. We're not vengeful. It's not naming and shaming. But I think how many decades, how many reports, how much have we alluded to, how many gross errors, failures, lack of judgment, lack of risk assessment has resulted in this happening. And I think the key thing is that because people are not being held to account when they don't do their jobs properly, change isn't happening because there's no fear. Where's the incentive? I would say that, of course, it's awful to lose your job, to be compromised on a promotion, perhaps, to be disciplined. It's a lot harder to lose your life and your child.
Hello, Emily Anderson, BBC East Midlands today. I've got a question for you, James. You so eloquently put that the trust that should be there to help you as a Nottingham resident isn't helping you. How frustrating is it for you, being born and bred in Nottingham, that the service is failing so badly?
It rips me apart. It's to the point where, like, I'm in need of mental health now because of the traumatic experience I've had to go through the last 18 months because of what's happened. I now have to turn to the Mental Health Trust, and I feel that they're not there to support me. The therapy I'm getting is not through Nottingham. We've had to go through the Police Crime Commissioner to get the sort of therapy that we need. the 8 sessions for free after 2 months to help you through is not enough for stuff like this. And a lot of people are saying it's down to budget cuts and staff, etc. But there's individuals out there that are not doing risk assessments, that are not completing the job properly, taking shortcuts. And like Sanjoy has mentioned before, if he and his profession and Sinead, if they took shortcuts, it puts people's lives at risk and they would be made accountable for it. And it seems to be just washed over that as a system they've failed, but they won't pick out the individuals, the ones that are signed on the dotted line to let that murderer come out and kill my father and kill 2 students. I just can't have any faith in the trust. Currently, the NHS with the Queen's Medical Centre and the maternity records is just another thing that's happening in Nottingham. It seems to be, it's just, the city as a whole is a failure, and it's horrible because it's where I'm from. I want to be proud, but I can't.
Victoria MacDonald from Channel 4 News. To any of you, really, there have been numerous, as you said, inquiries into killings, into mental health failures. There have even been statutory inquiries in the past. Why do you think this one will make any difference?
Really good question. Just before I take that, I'd just like to pick up on the point that James made there in the context of the journey over the last 18 months. It's been very striking to the legal team every time that we sit with the families, how traumatic the continuing experience to them is. They haven't essentially moved the dial at all since June 2023. And some of the reason for that has to be heaped on the organisations and the way in which they've been dealt with during that time. I think the words afterthought, marginalised, not involved at all, simply adds to the trauma of such a difficult situation that none of us can really ever properly imagine, because fortunately we've never had to step in their shoes. And it's really rather noticeable that the latest legal gymnastics that NHS England were up to over the last couple of weeks was geared towards burying this on a Friday afternoon when everybody had gone home for the weekend. And equally yesterday in their press release, been rather disingenuous, because they talk about consultation with the families. Well, any consultation with families was batted away as, we can't disclose this. No, this isn't good enough. And as James says, he's taking mental health support. The other families are as well. They've gone nowhere. And if from today one of the lessons needs to be is the organisations in which they are currently dealing with on 9 fronts need to treat them with respect, need to put them first, listen to them, engage them, and move the dial forward. In answer to your question on the statutory inquiry, again, as you'll see, there's so many pieces to this. Now, we're not just talking about failings in the health service, we're not just talking about failings with the police, we're talking about failings across multiple agencies before and after the events of June 2013. It's a patchwork quilt that only the statutory inquiry will enable us to fill all the obvious gaps that we've already seen materialise within the inquiries and investigations, and indeed will ensure compellability of witnesses that so far have stuck their head down or said nothing to see here.
Yeah, Washerwood, Times Radio. Can I just ask, I don't mind who answers this question, but from looking at this report, do you think it throws fresh light on the poor decision not to bring a murder charge against Calla Kane? That actually, if you look at the fact that he resisted taking his medication, that actually the CPS, to your point, it has failed to actually press ahead with a murder, try to get a murder conviction?
I'm not going to say too much because I'll get myself into trouble, but it's a disgrace. It's an absolute miscarriage of justice. I've said this, we've said this, we were forced to sit through that painful, shameful sentencing hearing over 2 days last January. This is wrong. He got away with murder. He is mentally unwell, but he had insights. We have to be careful what we say. So I'm going to hand over to Neil, but this individual is residing as a patient. He planned his murder. He bought his knives. He had a rucksack full of weapons. What we know of the investigation is appalling. I think the CPS made their minds up about which way they wanted this to go. And we were never consulted. We were railroaded and not dealt with particularly well, I don't believe, as families leading up to. If I knew then what I know now, everything would be really different. But who knows how to deal with your child being murdered? Who knows how to begin to comprehend that? And so all I do know is that there's such a wrong here that we have to do all we can to make it right. And I'm going to shut up and hand over to Neil.
Yeah, I think the big point for me, and the report is quite clear that there are questions to be asked, is that the families spotted this obvious issue and were not heard, simply not heard. And very clearly, it is a matter that needs close examination to make sure those decisions at the time were stand rigorous scrutiny and not a light touch fast track investigation that was done very soon after.
Becky Johnson, Sky News. We can hear your frustration at the lack of accountability for what's happened. I just want to know, how much of the blame do you think lies with individuals? And how much of the blame do you think is more organisational or perhaps even with services nationally?
I'm going to address that. I'm going to address it as a consultant working in the NHS. I'm going to address that as a doctor from a medical family. And what I want people to understand is that when you go to work, when you get your paycheck, you do it with the responsibility to do the best for your patients. Now, psychiatry is one branch of medicine where treatment of a patient does not just impact the patient and their well-being, it can impact the people around them. It is the only branch of medicine where a third party can be hurt, where a member of family can be killed, where a patient can take their own lives, where a patient can take the life of a complete stranger, where the patient can take the life of a child, where a complete stranger can take the life of my child because of their choice on treatment. Now, if you have cancer and you decide my disease is not curable, I choose not to have my treatment, that is your individual choice. But within the psychiatric speciality, it has to be remembered, it is not just the patient's health that is affected, it is public safety that's at risk. And I think for that reason, accountability is incredibly important. If any of those individuals thought that Valdo Calicane was going to go out and share a student accommodation with their child, I suspect their choices may have been changed. If any of the healthcare workers thought that Valdo Calicane was the next door neighbour of their parent, I think their choices may have been slightly different informed. I'm concerned about the empathy, I'm concerned about the 3D thinking, and of course risk assessments and retrospection. I think there was laziness, I think there was, and I think all of this contributes to the fact that accountability on an individual level is essential.
But at the end of the day, it is individuals who make up the system. So if you don't hold individuals responsible, the system will never change. And to your question about changing systems, I believe the only way of doing that is by holding individuals accountable.
Julian Drucker, Channel 5. Question for Sanjoy. How did you feel when you read this report, and how angry do you now feel?
I was appalled because I think the CQC had already done a pretty thorough job, really, and I was quite satisfied with Chris Tzatziki's work from the CQC, and I'd like to thank him for his work. They are the regulators, and they are the people, in a way, who shape the future of how a system should look. Reading this report, I was annoyed because there were gaps. There was no responsibility by any of the clinicians or any of the healthcare workers. No one in the trust has actually made any referrals to the regulator or the professional bodies, and no one in this report has been held responsible. I will be asking Wes Streeting. I will be asking him to ask the trust to reconsider their position on that, because I think there are people here to blame. This man was sectioned four times, and four times there was no change of tack. There was no change of medication. There was no change in community care. In fact, the risk assessments that they did were for their own staff. Their own staff are quoted in this report as saying, not going to visit Balbec Allocaine because the escape route from his apartment is too long. But he's fine to leave in student accommodation. It's absolutely appalling. So I am thoroughly disgusted by this report. It falls short for me. As a doctor, it doesn't answer my questions.
Hi. Sorry, I'm from Joel Moore from the Nottingham Post. I just wanted to ask about a certain part of the report, to any of the families, really. So it talks about 15 incidences of extreme violence at the Trust involving patients between 2019 and 2023. These were not properly acted on by board members. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that, really, because this includes three fatalities as well.
I mean, I'll start, but I don't know if James wants to speak, because you reside in Nottingham, but I mean, as I've quoted and horrified to hear, 50 people have died since 2000 in Nottingham alone through mental health homicides. And the 15 cases that were used, I don't know if it's benchmark, what you do, it's part of checking, I guess, in these investigations. They're all failed. It's the word failure is coming up again and again and again, and it's repetition, isn't it? And like Sinead said so well, the risk is to others here. These are dangerous. This is danger. This is risk to life. If you don't have public safety, then what have you got? I don't know, James, did you want to say anything from a local perspective? But, from my perspective, we loved when Barney went to Nottingham. We thought, what an amazing city. But even now I find it hard to see it, because for me it's associated with tragedy and the destruction of our family life.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing to think about the future. My dad had grandchildren that in the next few years would be going to college and university, possibly in Nottingham. And the thought that they could be in the same situation that Barney and Grace were, it's unthinkable. It breaks your heart, because there's nothing as an individual that you can do to stop it. You can't follow them around everywhere and be there to help them. They're independent. They've got to have their own lives as well. But the people that are there to protect them, the police and the NHS and those systems in Nottingham, the ones that are supposed to help them and keep her mind at ease, are the ones that have failed. And they'll continue to fail until there is accountability.
Can I just add in... Oh, what is it? Sorry. Just add in reply to that question. Essentially, it's a question about corporate governance, isn't it? Responsibility. And I think it's a wider question across society and public bodies and even private organisations around people that sit and draw salary from a non-executive position and don't accept the responsibility necessarily that comes with it. And that's a real feature that recurs here and in other places. I think while we've got you for your question, I think families are very grateful for the support that's been given by the Nottingham Post to their plight over the last 18 months. It's important that we recognise that as well this morning.
Yeah,
BC. Emma, this is something that you've made reference to in communications with me over the last week or so. But what are your thoughts on the refusal by NHS England up until the last minute to publish this report in full?
Speaks for itself, doesn't it, really? You know, actions speak louder than words, and everything has been a battle. We reached out to try. We had this report delivered to us in person about three and a half weeks ago, and at that time we had asked repeatedly, could senior people from the NHS England be there, as well as Trust. This was presented to us by the person, the lead investigator, and the consultancy firm that undertook this. Hours and hours and hours sat reading this wretched detail and having it presented to us. And like Neil alluded to, we're an afterthought, we're an appendix, we're an annoyance, I think. That's how that appears to have been. And it should not take us being tortured endlessly to try and get clarity, answers and the truth. It should not take the Times newspaper yesterday putting it on their front page that NHS are refusing to release report, citing all this, that and the other, and then there's a U-turn at the 11th hour. And there's only the U-turn because of the pressure, because of the public awareness, and it's just not right. And this is just one example. Neil's alluded to the Nottingham Post. Without the Nottingham Post breaking the non-reportable media briefing that Kate Maynell, the chief constable of Nottingham Police Force, held, none of that rubbish would have come out. None of the cover-ups with the misconduct and the negligence of her officers. Not all of them, but some of them. I mean, how dare they do that? But you were brave and you said no, and you spoke out. But all of this is a battle, all of this is a fight, and then we've had this awful decision. Until the tea time yesterday, do we break the non-disclosure agreements we were forced to sign? We've been gagged by the NHS. We've also had to sign non-disclosure agreements with the IOPC with regards to the outcome that's been suggested to us from the Leicestershire investigation. And I don't know how much longer that we should be gagged, because if you knew what we knew about that, you'd probably be as aghast at that as you are at this. And that's probably enough from me, if anyone wants to say anything else.
Fiona Hamilton from The Times. I just wanted to do a follow-up on the question of a murder trial. Having seen this report and knowing now what you know about Valdo Calacane, his capacity and his decision-making over his treatment, do you believe that the psychiatric evidence at the criminal court misled the judge? And what do you think should be done to rectify that?
I think I'll self-contain the answer to this to say that it's certainly an issue that needs to be ventilated and properly examined, and falls within what we say ought to be the remit of a public inquiry with teeth, so that relevant people that provided evidence during that process are compelled to come and explain the basis of that.
Martin Evans from The Telegraph. Just a follow-up to that, is there any mechanism that you're aware of to revisit the sentencing, given that he didn't get the hybrid? And can I ask also about plans to meet people from the government next week? Can you give us any more information about who you're meeting and what you expect to be discussed?
On the first point, the family's expectations are well managed, that resentencing does not appear to be on the landscape. On the second point, as I said in the press statement earlier, we're reassured by the offer to meet with ministers next week. I think that there's a natural desire on part of families to get there as quickly as possible. Us lawyers know that these things take time, and very often it's the lawyers that make it take time. And consequently, we're grateful for that opportunity, and we hope to make substantial progress next week. The government are clearly aware of where our focus is. They're clearly aware that enough is enough. Clearly aware that we want the start line for this inquiry, and they're clearly aware we want it to be on the basis of being meaningful with teeth and judge-led.
Can I just reiterate, whilst we have the ear, that I do think it's time now that we do get the opportunity to meet with our Prime Minister and the most senior level of Cabinet Ministers. Would you agree? It's time now, because as well briefed as they will be, they do not have the full detail. And I know that we have to do everything we can to make sure they're given that opportunity. So I do hope that that's afforded, that we will have that one chance to meet with all of them.
Yes, he says that past lessons have not been learnt and still not got the proper answers, even in this latest report, and want to ensure proper accountability. And the families across the countries expect a lot more from NHS England. We've heard from Dr. Sanjoy Kumar, of course, the father of Grace O'Malley Kumar, who reflected on the way in which changes in this country don't happen fast enough or quickly enough following reports of this nature. He demanded a statutory inquiry. He demanded accountability and says that he and his fellow family members of other victims will not stop until we get justice for these attacks and also for other families who have suffered similarly. He spoke about the broken lives and immeasurable loss that he and other victims' families have been facing. James Coates, we heard from as well. He's the son of Ian Coates. He reflected on the great mental strain he and his family members have faced since the attacks. He said that mental health services in Nottingham, he said police in Nottingham and the NHS in Nottingham have failed us. He mentioned who do we turn to facing his own mental health problems when you don't trust those who are meant to provide it. And he said that we will continue to have been failed until all changes have been made. We also heard from Emma Webber, the mother of Barnaby Webber, who wanted individual names of those who need to be held to account, not just broad reports. They have been describing the fight for justice as unfathomable, of course, since the attacks in 2023. Let's remind you, though, of a timeline of the story that we're talking about, and in particular, the history of Valdo Calacanes, the killer of those three individuals. Well, in May 2020, he was arrested for criminal damage, and following a mental health assessment, was found to be experiencing psychosis. He was released as he was deemed low risk, but returned home and tried to break into a flat before being rearrested and detained under the Mental Health Act. Calacane was once again released back into the community the following month, and his mother, raising concerns about his mental health soon after. A month later, in July, he was readmitted to hospital after attempting to force his way into a flat. He was released again to the crisis team's care later that month. Well, in September the following year, Calacane was admitted to hospital for the third time after he significantly assaulted police officers during a mental health assessment. A month later, he was discharged. In January 2022, it was reported that he'd allegedly assaulted his flatmate and trapped him and another flatmate in their accommodation. He was detained in hospital for another month or so after that. And then on the 13th of June 2023, after inconsistent contact with mental health services, Valdo Calacane killed Grace O'Malley Kumar, Barnaby Webber, and Ian Coates. Well, Emma Webber, the mother of the 19-year-old victim, Barnaby Webber, was among those who gave statements this morning. She said the report showed evidence of catastrophic failure.
In September 2022, we delivered our beautiful child, aged 18 years old, to Nottingham to start the next part of his life, to study, to grow up, to play his beloved cricket, to make a whole new range of friends in a city he had already come to love. Little did we know what an unsafe city he was being left in and what evil are waited in the shadows in the early hours of the morning on June the 13th, 2023. In this city alone, since the year 2000, there have been 50 murders through mental health. 50 homicides under mental health alone. This much referred to latest NHE report is yet more evidence of catastrophic failure. It adds to the pile of others. Yes, 9, as Neil has said, 9 painful attempts on our part to address the concerns that we've been raised. Almost without exception, they're not fit for purpose. Of those completed, most are wholly inadequate and little more than marking of homework. None of them provide clarity or the full truth. Huge gaps, omissions, and unanswered questions. Why is there no individual or organisational accountability?
Central London, where the victims' families, of course, have been giving that press conference. You might have heard Becky Johnson, our social affairs correspondent, posing a couple of questions. Let's go to Becky now. Becky, what stood out for you?
Well, just at the end there, Emma Webber, Barnaby Webber's mother, called directly on the Prime Minister, saying she would now like to meet with him directly. She has said this morning that enough is enough. You get the sense from these families that they feel that they have had to fight so hard every time they want more information about the circumstances that led up to the deaths of their loved ones, and they would like change. They feel that had they not shouted so loudly at huge personal cost whilst they are grieving, that they feel that this the phrase brushed under the carpet was used, they feel it would have been brushed under the carpet, filed under lessons will be learned. And the sense from the families is that this needs to now be a line in the sand. They want to meet with high-level government ministers and now the Prime Minister directly, they've said. But this report details a catastrophic failure. It can only be described as that, and that is how the families see it. 4 times Valdo Calacane was sectioned. He was then released back into the community. He was allowed to refuse long-lasting medication on the basis that he was scared of needles. The families at a loss about that. They're questioning now the entire criminal justice process, whereby he was given an indefinite hospital order. They believe that he did have insight into his condition, and that effectively he just simply didn't take his medication, that he knew that when he didn't take his medication he would be violent. That is their view, and therefore they're questioning everything, including involvement of the police, because we know from this report and previous reports there had been a long history of violence from Valdo Calacane. Indeed, there was a warrant out for his arrest for the 9 months leading up to the death of these 3 victims, a warrant that was never executed, and the family saying that they have been unable to reveal publicly details of police investigations into these matters. So clear frustration, but what really came through from the families is that they still feel, despite this 300-page report detailing all these failings, that names haven't been named, individuals have not been held to account, and they believe that without accountability we simply can't move forward, that change can't happen. Now, I asked the families directly about this, and I think you can hear the exchange.
We can hear your frustration at the lack of accountability for what's happened. I just want to know, how much of the blame do you think lies with individuals, and how much of the blame do you think is more organisational, or perhaps even with services nationally?
I'm going to address that. I'm going to address it as a consultant working in the NHS. I'm going to address that as a doctor from a medical family. And what I want people to understand is that when you go to work, when you get your paycheck, you do it with the responsibility to do the best for your patients. Now, psychiatry is one branch of medicine where treatment of a patient does not just impact the patient and their well-being, it can impact the people around them. It is the only branch of medicine where a third party can be hurt, where a member of family can be killed, where a patient can take their own lives, where a patient can take the life of a complete stranger, where the patient can take the life of a child. where a complete stranger can take the life of my child because of their choice on treatment. Now, if you have cancer and you decide my disease is not curable, I choose not to have my treatment, that is your individual choice. But within the psychiatric speciality, it has to be remembered, it is not just the patient's health that is affected, it is public safety that's at risk. And I think for that reason, accountability is incredibly important. If any of those individuals thought that valdecalcane was going to go out and share a student accommodation with their child, I suspect their choices may have been changed. If any of the healthcare workers thought that valdecalcane was the next door neighbour of their parent, I think their choices may have been slightly different informed. I'm concerned about the empathy, I'm concerned about the 3D thinking, and of course risk assessments and retrospection. I think there was laziness, I think there was, and I think all of this contributes to the fact that accountability on an individual level is essential.
But at the end of the day, it is individuals who make up a system. So if you don't hold individuals responsible, the system will never change. And to your question about changing systems, I believe the only way of doing that is by holding individuals accountable.
Now, the families spoke about hundreds of reports that have previously done about failures of mental health services in England, and they have said they want this now to be a watershed moment. There has been a promise of a judge-led inquiry into the attack in Nottingham, but the families say that that inquiry needs to begin as soon as possible, and they are now demanding that it's a statutory public inquiry, so it would have the power to compel witnesses to give evidence, because they believe that's the only way they're going to really get to the truth and get accountability for what happened.
Becky, as always, thanks so much. More on that story, that press conference throughout the day here on Sky News. Now, the Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, as we mentioned, he's been in Ukraine, and at a press conference moments ago, he was addressing the latest comments to come out of the White House by President Trump relating to Gaza, and he's been speaking about ensuring that Palestinians have a future in their homeland.
We've always been clear in our belief that we must see two states, we must see Palestinians able to live and prosper in their homelands, in Gaza, in the West Bank. That is what we want to get to, and that is why it's important that we move out of phase one of this hostage deal to phase two and then to phase three and reconstructing Gaza. We will play our part in that.
David Lammy there, the Foreign Secretary. Again, more on that to come. We should also mention, of course, top of the hour, Prime Minister's Questions. We'll have that live for you on Sky News, as we always do. But up next is Business Live. Darren McCaffrey, of course, has that. Darren, what have you got on the agenda this morning?
Good morning to you, Will. We're going to be talking about trade, unsurprisingly, but not necessarily about the US this time. There is kind of a reverberation, if you like, from what Donald Trump announced the other day, and that is that Justin Trudeau is suggesting that there could be a Canada-UK trade deal. What that looked like, we're going to be talking about that. We've also got the results from Trivago and from Alphabet as well, plus lots more on Business Live in just a couple of minutes here on Sky News.